All right. Well, good morning, everyone. This is Brandon with the Iowa Healthcare Association. Thanks for joining us today for IHCA Iowa Total Care MCO call for January 12th, 2022. We're joined by our representatives from Iowa Total Care. I'll start this one off with an update on informational letters from the Department of Human Services that have been released since our last call, which was at the beginning of December. And so, those informational letters that are affecting you all would likely be, I only saw one that I thought kind of would come into play here, and it's IL-2301, listening sessions for providers. And what this informational letter is accomplishing.
Hold on a second. I'm trying to join a meeting.
What this informational letter is trying to accomplish here.
Okay. Well, hold on. Let me go.
Different listening sessions throughout the months of January and February with specific topics. So topics that would be included would be DME, provider enrollment and credentialing, managed care RFP, prior auth, and school-based services are the different opportunities for you to be able to participate in. And so I know I registered for multiple of those sessions. To be able to participate with the second one being tomorrow on provider enrollment. And so would encourage if it's something that's of interest to you, IL-2301 has those listening sessions that you're able to participate in. So I will turn it over to Jeannie to see if you or your team have any just general updates or anything that you would like to discuss prior to going into our question that was submitted ahead of time.
All right. Okay. Thanks, Brandon. Appreciate the opportunity and all of you today. I have one update for you. We have updated our territory map today, or actually not just today. I'm sharing it with you today. As we look at the territory map, we have Robin Martin on
it. Okay, well, if you can change PCC to 1165.
We have Robin, whoever's speaking, we can hear you. For Region 3, we do have Robin Martin on the map now in the northeast corner of Iowa. In addition, we also have a change for Region 5. Dave Smith has moved on to a new endeavor, and we are actively seeking his replacement at this time. In addition, we continue to review candidates for Region 9. I have also shared the map in the chat for your review. And that's what I have, Brandon.
Thanks, Jeannie. I am directly messaging that person who keeps coming unmuted to make sure that they don't say anything unmuted that they don't want to say.
Right. That's what I thought. Maybe I'd try and help out with that a little bit.
Yeah, that's okay. So we had one question for Iowa Total Care submitted prior to the call. And this question, it's on the prior authorization form. And in learning more from this provider, it sounds like, you know, this form obviously is the universal form that they're using, and they're getting different directions from Iowa Total Care than they are from Amerigroup on how they want the form to be filled out. And it comes down to that, I think requesting provider is the one of the fields, and Amerigroup is requesting that they put their own information as an agency in that field. And Iowa Total Care is asking that they put the referring physician, nurse practitioner, physician's assistant information in that build. And so, Jeannie, would you mind going into that a little bit and, I don't know, maybe explaining Iowa Total Care's position on that? And I will also add, they mentioned that when they put the physician or the AR, the nurse practitioner, their information in that field, the prior authorization is then assigned to them. And then, so we wouldn't be able to see that is the indication that I'm receiving. And so, Jeannie, if you wouldn't mind talking about that a little bit, I'd appreciate it.
Of course. I did reach out to our utilization management director, Di Pecci, who has joined us many times previously with a specific question that Brandon had shared with us. And she did share that the information that was shared is a little bit different from Amerigroup, and we're assuming that's the direction that Amerigroup was giving. That kind of confirms as well, Brandon. ITC has never requested that we have providers put themselves on requesting and servicing. I have provided in the chat the form for Iowa Total Care. The requesting provider is the provider who did order the care. And our accreditation, our NCQA accreditation, indicates that we are to send the determination letter to the ordering physician or provider. So for that particular reason, we do need the ordering provider's address. If we do not receive that information upon submission, we will reach out to obtain that information as well. So the home care agency would be the servicing provider, and that's where the contact information would be presented on. So does that help clarify?
I mean, I think it definitely, you know, gives further explanation as to why or why Iowa Total Care is interpreting the form that way. I think, you know, as I look at the form, that is what my interpretation of the intent would be, I suppose, because there does need to be someone ordering the services, and that is typically not the agency that is a doctor or physician or whatever ordering the services that need to be provided. And so that's, I guess, when I, at first blush, my non-medical background, that's how I would indicate that. But it would be, I know you'd mentioned that, I think you mentioned that that's where the auth then goes, is that referring provider. Do we get that information as the what was the word that was used for that? The servicing provider, do we get that information too then?
I do not believe so, based on what Di had shared with me. Let me just read through her notes just to see if I can gain any additional information.
And so maybe that's where some of the question or the issue may lie with, we're the ones filling it out, right, and submitting the request for the authorization. But then any follow-up or the approval more than likely probably goes to that requesting. And maybe that's where we're kind of having some questions, I suppose. And I think I cut Hillary off.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I've heard this complaint from some providers before, because I don't think they do get a copy of the outcome of the auth. So they can't see it in the portal and things when they go to look it up, unless they look it up by individual member. And I did bring this up to our utilization management team, and I believe they're still looking into seeing if there's a way that they can notify both, but they haven't come up with a way yet. And it wasn't specific to home health. I think it was a DME provider that brought it up previously, but it's the same issue. So I know they're trying to figure out a way to make sure that everyone gets notified. But I do believe that you can look it up under the member. If you look up the auth by member in the portal, I believe that's how they were able to see if the authorization was there.
Awesome. Thanks, Hillary.
I'm not sure if anyone's tried that, but give that a try. It should work. And if not, then we can get that feedback and we can take that back to UM as well.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And so then the question of with the universal form, I thought that was that they were supposed to be applied consistently among the MCOs. I think that was probably the intent of the form. And And I don't know if there's really instructions or definitions as to what each of those fields would be. So when you see requesting, there probably isn't a definition assigned to that form that would identify who the requesting provider would be. So I think that would be the intent. There was the intent of the forms, but obviously with different MCOs, they've chosen to apply it differently. And I guess, in my opinion, the requesting being the physician or doctor requesting that information, if that's information that the MCO needs to have anyways, it would make sense that that is the line that that goes. But knowing that we would still want or need that information to be sent to the servicing provider as well. And I think that's what it sounded like that Iowa Total Care is trying to accomplish as well, is to figure out a way to get that. So.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Always trying to improve the processes. And from a provider relations standpoint and claims perspective, we work with our UM department to take that information and work together to make those processes better. So.
Appreciate that. So, like I mentioned at the beginning, we had one question submitted prior to the call. And so, obviously, if you do have other questions that you'd like to ask, you can either put those in the chat, or if you'd like, since I'm out of questions at this point, if you'd like to unmute yourself and ask one, we could provide that opportunity to you all now. I'll pause for a few moments here to allow for that. We might have got one in here. That might be a comment. You can see the auth in the portal. However, if you have requested several services, you cannot see that. 7 skilled nursing and 10 aid and 5 therapy were approved. The provider only sees total units as 22 approved. This makes it hard to schedule when a provider does not know how many of each service were approved. Oh, that makes, thanks, yeah, Sue.
I think we may have to take that back to UM too, because I'm not sure they're authing by individual service. I think they may be authing as a like total number of units of all the different services, and then the breakdown is up to you guys, but I am not 100% on that, but we can take that back and double check.
Yeah, I think that'd be helpful to understand that, I suppose, so that way we know, because obviously,
yep,
you know, we're submitting them based off of the service more than likely, and each service would be paid at a different rate, and so
right.
I guess the assumption would be that we wouldn't want 22 skilled nursing visits to happen. Not that we have enough nurses to go out and do all those, but.
Right. yeah. I think we have to just double check how they're actually authing those, because I'm not sure. And if they are authing like a certain number of a certain type of service, then maybe take that feedback to the portal team about getting that broken out. And awesome. So that you can actually see it.
Awesome. Thank you. Does ITC reprocess claims for Medicaid rate changes automatically after paying incorrectly? This is from Deb. Deb, I think that the first question that I would probably ask is, it depends on the, or comment I would make is, it depends on the rate that was billed initially on the claim. So if you billed a usual and customary charge, prior to any rate change, and as long as that charge is above the amount that your new rate is, those should reprocess automatically. If not, a corrected claim would likely need to be resubmitted if what you billed was less than your new rate. A new claim would need to come in. Hillary, do you have anything that you'd like to correct me on or add, I suppose?
No, I think Michelle also responded in the chat, from our team, And just explaining that once we get the rates, sometimes they're behind. It takes us 30 days to configure, and then we do reprocess as long as you build enough charges. So that was correct. Thank you, Brandon.
Awesome.
Okay, so this is Deb. So if that's not happening, who is that, a provider rep relations question?
Yes, I would submit it to your provider rep. Also, if you haven't tried to dispute those claims on the portal, because that automatically resets the claims, that often is the fastest way for you to receive payment, is if you just click the dispute button in the portal, it'll reprocess the claim and give you the additional rate if you haven't received reprocessing already. But you can also
reach out to your provider. If I have 60 claims, I have to dispute them all?
You can also reach out to your PR rep if it's quite a few claims. But okay. For general, like one-off claims, it's much faster to dispute.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. A question from Laura asking about claims that were billed on 11-2, and I'm sorry if this is answered further on in the chat. 11-2-21 aren't paid or denied. They called the rep and they said they're pending per the auditor. I did send our PR, but why are claims taking over 60 days to process?
So I don't know of any issues in the system or claims in the system that have been pending for 60 days. So if you could either reach out to your PR rep or send information through Brandon or directly to your PR rep, that would be helpful. We can take a look and see what's happening.
This is Laura. I emailed the PR rep last week. I haven't received a response. My supervisor emailed her again yesterday, I believe. So, I mean, we are trying to work. I just didn't know what the issue is. It's just frustrating to have October claims sitting out there.
What provider are you with?
The Good Samaritan Society. I mean, okay. I actually have a Medicare A crossover claim that has been pending since October 19th.
Okay.
And it just shows in process. And I mean, it's just frustrating to sit and wait for it to process, yeah, pay or deny.
I believe we did get your information from the PR rep, and we're working on getting those claims pushed through right now.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you.
You should receive payment on those. Yep. You're welcome.
So this next question is kind of skipping through because I think some were maybe asked early. Will ITC halt recoupments of overpayments when an external audit has started? Will this period of audit be closed for any recoupments? We're having two instances of paying or attempting to pay the audit findings and then having recoupments started following those completed audits.
So we did reach out to our corporate team who does those audits to work with us, and they were supposed to shut those audits off so that they aren't doing them at the same time that we have to, you know, adjust CP or rates, things like that, so they aren't going on at the same time and causing issues within your claims. And they have shut that off for both home health and nursing facilities, so you shouldn't see it going forward. I do know there was some past instances of it happening. I mean, if you have claims that were impacted from that, please reach out to your provider rep so we can get those corrected. And I think a lot of you have. So I think they're in process, a lot of them. But if you haven't already, please reach out to your provider relations representative.
Awesome. Thanks, Hillary.
Welcome.
All right. Provide another moment here for any other questions that need to come in, or if you'd like, you could unmute your line and we can ask the question that way. All right. Well, hearing or seeing no further questions coming through, I think we'll be wrapping this one up early today. As with all of our MCO calls, feel free to submit questions to me prior to the call, if you could, and then I can get the questions to the MCOs ahead of time. Usually I like to send them the Friday before. This week was a little bit delayed in getting those over, but usually I like to send them the Friday before. So if you do have something specifically that you'd like to have asked on the call, send those to me, say, can you ask this on the call or whatever, and I can make sure that we get those questions on here. You know, I obviously at times get just normal questions that we try to flesh out answers on ahead of the call. But if you have something you'd like asked through this platform, we can definitely do that. So again, want to thank our participants from Iowa Total Care for joining us today and always being willing to answer questions we may have. We appreciate your involvement and continued participation on these calls. So with that, we will end this one and we'll start our AmeriGroup call at 11:30. So thanks everyone and have a great rest of your week.
Thanks, Brandon.
Thank you, Brandon.